sun is shining, it's a Green Fingers Day. Birds are smiling cause it's Green Fingers Day. Smell the flowers, weed your worries away. You're listening to Green Fingers.
Hi, you're listening to Green Fingers, as was probably made clear by the song, because it said Green Fingers, like, three times in it. I guess I should say, though, it's technically Kevin Carmichael's Green Fingers, because that's me, Kevin Carmichael, that is, not Green Fingers. That's the podcast, not me. So a lot has changed since the springtime. The feeling has returned to my fingers and toes, which is nice. And I've caught up on current events. Since it's the summertime, I thought I should start the podcast off with some fortune telling. The person who's listening to this while wearing suspenders and a pompadour wig, you left your TV on downstairs. Might want to turn that off. It all adds up on your energy bills, you know. This one's to three unrelated listeners. Each of you will obtain proof that Sasquatches exist. Don't let the other two stop you from reaping the benefits. You may not like it, but this will be a battle to the death. Don't hesitate, or you'll be the one to lose. You have been warned. To a man with a long, flaxen hair, tell her about the jinxing. She'll understand. Trust me. If you were born in July of 1995, make sure to eat lots of bacon this week. Otherwise, you might miss out on meeting the love of your life. Well, now that we're all ready for our futures, time to talk about the past. My past, specifically. Viewers, I have something to confess to you all. I tried something new recently, which is usually a good thing, right? Although, viewers, this thing, you may not be so proud of me. I do want you all to be proud of me. It's basically the main reason that I podcast. I had to make a run into town to buy some diatomaceous earth, and a man came up to me asking if I could spare a cigarette.
I was affronted. I do not smoke, sir, I said pointedly. I was not raised by smoking wolves.
The encounter stuck with me as I continued my day.
As I continued to think about it, one thing struck me. Tobacco's a plant, right? Grown out of the ground like any other.
That means that this man was enjoying plants in a way that I had never done myself. Maybe he was experiencing a true connection to the plants that I couldn't even fathom. How was I to know? I hadn't been raised by smoking wolves.
I went to the nearest smoke shop and I bought four different cartons, just to be safe. Two regular, one menthol, one cloves. I opened up a pack of Camberos and took a drag. Then I remembered that I had to light it on fire first. And I went back to the store for some matches. So much to this process, you know. It's kind of silly to look down on smokers because they're putting a lot of work into it, and you know. So I tried it again with a fire. It burned my throat, but really that's about what I would have expected.
I coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed. I coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed and cough.
I felt a little bit dizzy, but I don't know if I felt particularly close to the tobacco. I mean, I had never even met this tobacco before. Maybe it would have been different if I had grown it myself and then put it inside of me. Overall, it was okay, but I decided that it's not a pastime that I can afford to take on. After all, I do have my voice to think about, you know, my sultry vocal tones. I'm a podcaster now.
I have to treat my vocal cords as Pavarotti treated a grand piano or a really nice oboe.
Now it's time to bring back a classic Green Fingers segment. Roll out the drum roll. Have you seen that movie? This time, I'm asking, have you seen the Guardians of the Galaxy movies? Because I have, and frankly, I loved them. If you had told me 7 years ago there would be a superhero movie that I would love even more than Batman and Robin, I would have been like, pshaw, no. You know, Poison Ivy, come on. But, I mean, like, I would have disputed you because of the merits of Poison Ivy in the film. I'm not implying that I was having an argument with Poison Ivy, because I think if I knew Poison Ivy, we would agree on a lot of things. I mean, we might playfully chide each other. Anyways, these movies really do get the job done. I mean, for one thing, there is a tree man. He's like a walking tree, like the ones from Lord of the Rings, but better.
His name is Groot, and he's always saying stuff like, "I'm Groot," and the best part is, his best friend is a raccoon.
And they really got the raccoon right. I don't know how they trained this raccoon, but he is talented for sure. You know, I hope that he has a good career. I know that there aren't a lot of roles for raccoons. In cinema, which is pretty sad. I think we should all work on that. We should, screenwriters out there, if you're writing a movie, think about the kinds of things a raccoon could do to enhance your storytelling. You know, if it's a romantic comedy, you know, the raccoon could bring the people together. Or, you know, two raccoons could find love.
So, if you, like me, are figuratively a tree man with literally a bunch of raccoons for friends, I cannot recommend these movies highly enough. Or maybe, I mean, if you're literally a raccoon with some figurative tree people for friends, or literally a tree man with some figurative raccoons. I don't know how you figure a raccoon.
I also spent some time recently catching up with my good friend Alfred. He felt a bit spurned after I left him without my company for such a long time. Such a long, long time. And what's worse,
that raccoons planted a bunch of nasturtiums near him. And Alfred hates nasturtiums.
It's kind of a problematic fault of his, to be honest. I told the raccoons, but they just kept
planting more nasturtiums.
I would think they were doing it partly out of jealousy of Alfred. Although, I mean, I get that I don't want to... Planting is really fun.
I'm sure some of our millions of viewers have had wonderful experiences planting nasturtiums. They're just remarkable. You know, really feeling the dirt as you put them in.
So I had some patching up to do with Alfred.
I moved the nasturtiums to another flower bed, and I bought him some exotic fertilizers, new garden decorations. I think things are better between us now, but it was a little rocky there for a while.
You know, I like that saying, Things were rocky there for a while. It's just like a garden. You don't want it to get rocky. But if you put in the work, pull out the rocks and replace them with good earthy soil. What was I talking about?
I thought I'd take some time to talk about what is probably my favorite album of music of all time. I listen to it every summer. I listen to it most months. And, you know, some months are in the summer. But I especially listen to it in the summer. It always just chills me out and gets me really connected to my plants.
I really appreciate when an album can do that, you know, to really focus on plants and their feelings, and create music just for them.
And I know that my plants appreciate it too. I mean, I create music specifically for them all the time, but it's nice to get some music for plants from a professional.
Another professional.
Huh? Oh. Thanks. My producer, Tim, has informed me that I've forgotten to actually give the name of the album. I'm talking, of course, about the classic Mother Earth's Plantasia by Mort Garson. I have, like, 4 different copies on vinyl. It feels like every time I listen to it, I have a different favorite song. You Don't Have to Walk a Begonia, always good, and very true, although I'm actually working on a mechanism that will allow my begonias to walk, funnily enough.
It uses a mix of Kinects and
3D printed parts, but I'm still working on the plant-machine interface. I'd say it's like 99.9% done.
I think I still wouldn't really have to walk them, though. Begonias have a very good sense of direction. They're really great pets. And it's nice to see a song that addresses that.
It's sad that there was never a Plantasia 2, though. I tried listening to Ataraxia, The Unexplained, but it was too spooky for me.
Alfred loves that album, though. But, you know, all's not lost, because there's still a lot of plant-based music out there. When I came out of the ice, I was thinking to myself, Kevin. I just wanted to get used to talking again, and I really liked the sound of my own name, because I hadn't heard it in a while, and it felt good to hear my own voice saying that name. But I said, Kevin, you always used to be so in touch with culture. You always used to really have your head to the ground, because that's where the plants are. And, you know, you've been in ice for 7 years, so you don't know what the kids are listening to. And I was like, you know, I want to know. So I went to a record store, and I scanned the aisles, and something caught my eye. There is an album. There is a wonderful recent addition to the musical library of the world, called Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator. And I saw this cover, which has flowers on it and bees. And I thought, wow, I just had to give it a shot. And I was absolutely blown away by it. This is a wonderful recent addition to plant music. It has... It's this new form of music that I is called rapping. It's rapping, and it's very exciting because it's clearly influenced by podcasting. They've realized, like, you don't have to sing all the time. you can just talk passionately, and that's interesting. Especially when you're doing something like plants, and you know, because I was frozen for the past 7 years, I haven't heard all rap music, so I don't know if all of it is about plants. But this album, it has a song about garden shed. It's about garden sheds, called Garden Sheds, and I just think that
and yeah, there's some wonderful lines in this recording. I just want that garden and that Batmobile, good health, success, time on earth worthwhile, find somebody who love me and raise a couple of lizards. I don't know that I've ever heard, like, I've ever been spoken to by a song like that since Plantasia. And, I don't know. I mean, I do, it's not a perfect line, because I wish he'd specified what kind of lizards. There's a bunch of different kinds of lizards. There's the ones with like the blue tongues, and I just, if he had specified that, it would have made the line more evocative. But you know, he's a young boy. This Tyler person. But I still, overall, I would definitely recommend this. If you're like, I want another episode of Green Fingers, and there isn't one out yet. This album's kind of like an episode of Green Fingers. It's not quite as good, because there's stuff in it that's not about plants, and also isn't about Batman. So that's a problem. But you know, I'm sure he'll figure that out on his next album. But I also think that it's fascinating to me that even while I was frozen, my influence penetrated the culture like this, inspiring this new type of music. And I don't want to take all the credit, because Tyler clearly put a lot of work into this, but I mean, I think we all know who the real Flower Boy is here. Speaking of listening to things, I listened to an audiobook recently. It was so futuristic. Usually, if I want to read while gardening, I have to find a way to attach a book to the handle of my hoe. I managed to make it work using a music stand and some duct tape, but I'll be honest, it's not ideal. But now I can just put a speaker out in the garden and have someone read. Have someone read a story to all of us. It's great. So I listened to The Lawnmower Man. I really liked it. I mean, the concept of mowing a lawn is scary enough as it is. So I really liked the metaphor that Stephen King was going for here. It's about the horror of abusing plants. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's wrong to chop up your grass, friends, and hiring somebody else to do it so you don't have to face the horrible act yourself. It doesn't make it okay. On the other hand, King does bring some very spiritual aspects in the story. The thought of action-controlled gardening implements, merging user and mower. It would be beautiful if we were talking about a wheelbarrow. So for those who haven't read the story, it's about a guy who hires a pan to mow his lawn. And it's made to seem like this is a scary thing, because he's naked and eating the grass to control a lawnmower. And like, lawnmower ethics aside, I think this is a very unfair way to portray pans. I met a pan one time, and he was a lovely fellow.
I was at the beach, and this poor goat man had gotten his hoof stuck in a hole in the sand, and all these kids were kicking sand all over his fur, and whew, I don't know if you know what it's like to get sand in your fur, but after I saved the pan from the children, he offered me one wish, but I was like, don't mention it, man. He told me that it ran a burger joint in San Antonio, and to stop by if I was in the city. So, like, this goat man was very polite and gentle. So, I mean, I get that King wanted to make the store scary, but don't assume that all goat people are bad. So, remember that too, screenwriters. You know, you can have a positive representation of a pan, you know, and maybe that pan has a raccoon friend, you know. I just, if you want to pay me royalties for this idea, and, you know, Tyler, if you're listening, which you clearly are, it's the same for you. I don't know how well that album sold, but anyways, so not to speak ill of pans, but I never really saw the appeal of them as a god. Like druids must not do much gardening, because goats would just eat a garden. You can't trust your garden to a goat god. Speaking of, I wonder if there is a god of gardens. Ah, there is. Named Priapus. Let's just bring up some pictures here. My, it's bulbous. It's a very bulbous,
The pictures of him, listen, anybody who follows this podcast should know what my stance is on naked gardening by now. And this god, well, he seems to disagree. Not that I actually see him gardening in any of these pictures. I guess he's too busy not wearing pants and having a very oversized.
Who decided this fellow was going to be the god of gardens? Why? I don't know if he's a fully qualified garden expert, because frankly he looks wildly inappropriate. Like if I ran the God Factory and my task for the day was to make a god of gardening, I'm fairly certain I wouldn't have come up with this guy. I'd make a god named Nevin, and Nevin is really into gardening. And he nearly always wears pants. And all of the pictures of him could have him holding a trowel in one hand and a hand tiller in the other. And he'd have plants all around him. And he would definitely still be wearing pants.
Well, it does say here that he used his enormous penis as a defense against thieves, so I guess that's, I can see the benefit, at least.
So I guess when it comes to Priapus, I'm agnostic.
Oh, there are like four police cars in the street outside my house.
Definitely four. But I only see one police officer. Did he drive all four of those cars? Are these those self-driving cars that I've read about? You know, I've done my best to catch up on what was happening while I was frozen. You know, I went to a record store, for God's sake. But what if there are things that I've overlooked? What if gardening podcasts are illegal now, and I've just been blithely recording all these green fingers? I didn't even think to check. I've got to hide my hard drives. I have to protect the green.
So the police are gone. I don't know what they were in the neighborhood for. I've checked the law books, though, and I don't see anything about gardening podcasts. So I think I'm okay to dig on my hard drives and continue. To be honest, I think the real reason I'm paranoid... I've been catching up on TV that I missed while I was in the ice block. I've been watching one show called Person of Interest. It's really opened my eyes to how the world has changed. Apparently computers aren't just for podcasting anymore. There are computers out there watching everything, like some kind of potato with a million eyes. Except these eyes can see and hear. They're super eyes. Surprise. I'm not particularly worried about my own privacy, as long as podcasting stays legal, which it should, to be clear on my stance on that. But what about the privacy rights of my plants? They have no say over where they're planted. I mean, they're off the grid, but how do I know that my plants aren't being surveilled? Do they not deserve to grow without the prying eyes of governments and corporations? I don't know what the answer is. I'm only on season two of Person of Interest, but something to keep thinking about for sure. Something else I've been thinking about, because I'm a thinky kind of. Thinky boy? Thinky man. Man. Something else I've been thinking about. I read a BBC News article recently. This is probably an Old Fingers segment, even though I read it in the news, because this news is talking about ancient Rome. Apparently the ancient Romans had an herb, and this herb was delish. It was called silphium. According to the article, its crunchable stalks were roasted, sautéed, or boiled and eaten as a vegetable. Its roots were eaten fresh, dipped in vinegar. It was an excellent preservative for lentils. When it was fed to sheep, their flesh became delectably tender. Caesar basically had a whole pantry full of this stuff. But now, the herb is gone. Have you ever had silphium? I haven't. Because nobody knows what it is anymore. Unless they're like 700 years old. I think the math on that checks out. It's tragic. I think about what life would be like if I were able to lose all the oregano or rosemary. Can you imagine? What would focaccia bread even be? So I've decided to start building a seed vault. Kind of like that one they have up in Norway. But like here. Instead of Norway. So far, I have tomatoes and peas. It's difficult because I keep buying seeds for it, but I have to admit I find it hard to resist planting them. I guess the raccoons and I have that in common. But you know, baby steps. I do have the name of it all figured out though. I'm gonna call it the Kevin Seed Bank. But it's not going to be a bank like where people go for money things. It's more like a snowbank, like a suppository. I really want to invite Victor to come to the ribbon cutting ceremony eventually, but
I mean, I really need to get a much wider selection of tomato seeds on file before I do that, obviously. And it's just in my garage right now, so again, baby steps. Like how baby kale becomes toddler kale and then real kale. Not that they're able to walk. Until my Kinexta device is finished. Anyways, there's something that I want to talk about this week, though I can't actually remember what it was. It was, it was something to do with gardens, like something that you put in your gardens for plants in the summertime. Huh. It's on the tip of my brain. Oh! I just remembered another segment that had wanted to do. It's a brand new segment. I call it "What for is that plant?" So it's like I tell you about different things that you can do with plants that you plant. For example, peas, an inaugural staple of the Kevin's Seed Bank. You might say, surely peas are mostly good for freezing to have when you whack your knee or something, right? And yes, they're good for that. But consider this. You can also make a pea shooter and shoot them at things. Like, if a bird or a squirrel is causing havoc in your garden, you can be like, bam, peas. And they generally don't like that. If you don't know how to make a pea shooter, you can also just throw handfuls of frozen peas. Though, I found that can sometimes just attract more birds and squirrels. Because, I mean, they find the peas annoying, but also delicious. It's probably a good metaphor for the, how most of us feel about life. It's delicious, but it's, you know, it hits you in the face and it's really cold. I had another idea for a segment. I'm going to call it Garden Mouthfuls. There are a lot of phrases that come right out of the garden. One that I just thought of during the what for is that plant segment is two peas in a pod. It's not my favorite garden mouthful because if you've been growing your peas properly, you should have much more than two peas in your pods. That pea plant sounds malnourished, which is a shame. You know, they don't like that. Another one is to nip something in the bud. That's very good advice if you want to avoid having your plants go to seed. Of course, it's not good advice if you do want something to go to seed. So use that one at your own discretion. Get your ducks in a row. That's not specifically garden related, but I tend to plant my plants in a row, so it kind of fits. And to be honest, if I did have a bunch of ducks in my yard, I would probably prefer to have them in a row to avoid all the trampling they could do. Just keep them in a row on the grass, and it would probably be fine. I'm still not recommending this. Don't write an article about me. I remembered what I'd wanted to talk about. Garden stakes and other implements like that, like tomato cages, vine supports, just anything of that sort, really. Every gardener who's done their time has probably used a garden implement or two. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You can really get to have an eye for types of implements your plants prefer over the years. I have some very fussy tomatoes. Not all of my tomatoes, but one particular type. They just simply cannot stand metal tomato cages. It's bamboo or nothing for them. You know, they just get full of seething hatred at the sight of metal. I don't know if it also translates to the genre of music, I haven't tried to play metal music for my plants yet. If there's a specific brand of metal music that you think tomatoes might like, then send it my way. But, you know, I mean, to each their own in terms of the bamboo. I do what I can for my plants. I'm no slumlord. They're not just numbers to me. Like, I'm the faceless banker on Deal or No Deal. I care about their needs. My squashes really love having some nice fences nearby. And I have support sticks for my fig trees. So some people will just tie them to the stake, but I like to give it that personal touch. I affix a warm glove filled with an approximation of hand to the stake, so the fig trees always feel like I'm there holding them up. I even designed the hands with little rumble machines in them, so they can massage the trunk of the tree. These trees are basically at the spa all day. I know some people might be like, Kevin, aren't you always saying don't lie to your plants? And it's true, you shouldn't. But I mean, this isn't like a lie. I mean, I'm tricking them into thinking I'm there and I'm not there. But it's not like a lie. It's like a nice thing. Needless to say, I have a wide variety of garden implements. In fact, I have the largest collection of garden stakes north of Wisconsin. And the guy in Wisconsin mostly collects pre-revolutionary metal garden stakes, which is pretty niche. Personally, I prefer wooden stakes. They look rustic, they're organic, and they're a good defense against vampires. I know a lot of people don't think that vampires are a threat anymore. They see these stories like True Blood, Twilight, Vampire Diaries, and they think, vampires aren't so bad. Maybe I'll give up gardening and marry one. But that's just... they're undead! I'm always vigilant, though. I grow a whole plot full of garlic, as well as secret extra bulbs of garlic in basically every corner of my yard, just in case. And my wooden stake collection is basically always at hand when I'm in my garden. I stand out there, completely scarfless, as dust sets in, just tempting fate, waiting for something to swoop out of the darkness. Summer breeze through the garden, like summer breeze through a gulch. Singing songs with my bean sprouts, and spreading freshly mulched mulch. I look to my left, and what do I see? A summer vampire, perched there in a tree. I look at him, and he looks at me. Summer vampire, please don't vampire me. Summer vampire, it's up to me. Summer is the baseball sports city. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me. Summer vampire drifts up to me. Summer is the baseball sports city. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me. Looked at my neck and said, summer squash. But I didn't get it. He explained that in the UK, they called you squash. And summer squash is a vegetable. And so it was funny because I was gardening and it was summertime, and he was going to drink my blood. We laughed and laughed. Summer vampire drifts up to me. Summer is the baseball sports city. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me. Summer vampire drifts up to me. Summer is the baseball sports city. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me.
I stood resolute. Though this place looks bucolic, come at me in my garden, and you'll need steaks and garlic. But I have delicious veggies. Just try a bite and see. You could have a tomato or a beet. Or perhaps some strawberries.
Summer vampire drifts up to me. Summer is the baseball sport, said he. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me. Summer vampire drifts up to me. Summer is the baseball sport, said he. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth aren't scaring me.
Cautious bite. Is that a grin?
Why, this is the tastiest. Both so fresh and fulfilling.
He gobbled with hastiness. I nodded sagely. They're truly the best. Then I took out a stake and drove it into his chest.
I pulled the vamp close and looked dead in his eyes. I won't fall for your tricks, ghoul. He dissolves. More mulch.
For my beans.
That's a true story. I wrote that song and about it right afterwards. Sometimes you just need to get out into the garden to really inspire you. You know, I really want to cement that What For Is This Plant segment that I did earlier. I think it's really just a great segment. So I'm going to do another one and tell you guys, What For Is Cauliflower? Cauliflower is great if you just want to contemplate fractals. So that's pretty much its main use. So, time to check for letters from the viewership.
Vampire drifts up to me. Summer's baseball sword said he. I'm not quite sure what that means, but his teeth are scaring me.
Oh, wonderful. We have a new letter from Alicia. Dear Kevin Carmichael.
You know, it's still nice to say my own name.
Glad to hear you're alive. I'm also glad about that, and I'm glad that you're glad about that. So I'm glad that we can just bask in this sea of gladness. I read the research papers on your ability to survive freezing. Fascinating stuff. My plants seem to really enjoy hearing about it, too. They tend to prefer poetry, but lately they've been getting into nonfiction. Do you have any book recommendations in either genre? How about music recommendations? Before Charlie Sheen went off the rails, they seemed to respond to the Two and a Half Men theme song. God knows why. I hope your garden is bountiful. Oh, it's a good way of putting it, bountiful. With love, Alicia. P.S. A hybrid of kale and Brussels sprouts sounds like a nightmare. Yeah. It does sound like a boomer anywhere. I'm wondering, Alicia, maybe you should listen to this episode in reverse. So you would hear this letter, and then you'd get Summer Vampire. And then towards the beginning of the episode, you'd get Flower Boy and Plantasia. And, you know, I just don't see why you should be bound when you're listening to a podcast to do the normal front-to-back thing all the time. So I hope that you sort of cosmically get what I'm saying, so that before you press play on this episode, you know to start with the ending and work backwards. So I guess that's what my summer's, that's the summer heat from the garden of Kevin. And I really hope all of you are having a wonderful time. And have a Green Fingers day.